Just to sing to the world. Do you mind? Okay, you sit down first. And it mentioned it four times, right? Salvation is free. If salvation is free, why we have to work? Right, isn't it? We sing it four times. We are clean. We shall allow. Salvation is free, right? Isn't it salvation is free? Let's say if there's advertising, all this bread is free. And why you have to work to get the bread? You just go and take it. So where you get the song, first of all? From the Google search? Where you get that? Huh? From the book, from the psalm? Okay. Hymn or psalm? Now, can you answer the question? If salvation is free, why do we have to work? Okay, three gifts. But you want me to tell you the answer? Go back to the third song. The writer mentioned it four times. The reason why we work, because we are servant of God. Are we servant of God? Okay. Why do we have to work? A lot of people are hungry. We have to feed them. Right? We have to provide for them. That's why we have to work, right? Do you know that a lot of people, they don't read the Bible? If I don't work, I don't feed them, they'll be hungry. Right? Isn't it? Thirdly, why do we have to work? There's labor for all. We all have to work. Okay? The kingdom of God is so great, right? Fourthly, how do we work? When we serve, we can experience the blessing of the Lord because He will empower you. Make sure when you guys sing the song, you know what you're singing, right? Now, what's the reason why we have to work if the salvation is free? Because we are all servant of God. Okay. Oh, man. And then there's so much work for us, right? You can't say, I don't preach, I don't do this, so I have nothing for us to do. No, there's a lot of things for us to do. A lot of hungry people in the world. We have to feed them. Tell them the word of God. Right? And then when we serve with the strength that God given us to us. Okay? If salvation is free, why do we have to work? That is recorded in Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8 to 10. Salvation is free. We receive salvation by grace through faith, not by work. But after we are saved, soon we prove our faith is genuine. We prove our faith by our work. Faith without work, that kind of faith is counterfeit faith. Satan believed in Jesus too, but he trembled. He did not serve God. He opposed God. Okay? We prove our faith that is genuine by our service to God. So Moses, if salvation is free, why do we have to serve? How do you say that now? Because we are servant of God. What else? A lot of hungry people in the world, we have to feed them, right? Feeding them is serving, right? And what else? There's work for everybody. We can't deny, say, okay, I don't do this, I don't do that. There's all kind of work you can do. All you have to do is look for it. But when you serve God, with the strength that God gave it to you. That's exactly what Philippians chapter 4, verse 13 is saying. I can do all things through him who gave me strength. You don't serve God with your own strength. You serve God with the strength that God gave it to you. If you, being a Christian, never serve God, if you don't serve God, you are not a Christian. Okay? Your faith in God is counterfeit. We all have to serve God, but we serve God with the strength God gave it to you. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We ask that you be gracious to us. We understand what we sing. We understand what we heard. And then we put it into practice so that when we come and see you face to face, we won't see you with an empty hand. We want to come and see you with a lot of fruit. And so that we get blessing, not only now, but in the life to come. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And in 2 Corinthians and chapter 9, the Bible clearly stated that the Lord loved cheerful giver. Chapter 9, verse 7. God loves a cheerful giver. There's a certain principle as far as giving is concerned. First of all, when you give, you never give out of grudgingly. You don't give out of reluctantly. You don't give under compulsion. It's not because someone do it, you have to do it. It's because you hear the word of the Lord. You have to know why you are doing what you're doing. And if you don't know what you're doing because someone doing it, and you feel like that you are under compulsion, you don't do it. So that's why in this church is totally different from all other churches. During the worship time, we don't pass out the offering bag, right? When you go to New Life Church, is it New Life Church? What, LSD Church? Do they pass out the offering tray, the bag to collect the offering today? Right? In this church, we don't. Because we don't want to force people to make the offering. You don't feel like doing it, you just don't do it. Am I right? Do you see a difference? I follow that principle. In your giving, in your service to God, I want you to write that down. 1 Peter chapter 5, 1 to 5. When you serve God, you have to serve God. It's not because you must, but because you are willing. You serve God, not because of compulsion, not by reluctance, not grudgingly, but you serve God joyfully. So you have to know what you are doing. And then if you serve God in this way, that pleases the Lord, just like what I said the last time in Philippians, chapter 4, verse 18 to 19, make sure that your offering, your service to God is pleasing to God, acceptable to God, and is a fragrant to God. Make sure that if you meet that requirement, chapter 4, 19, Paul gives you a precious promise. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. If you do it according to God's way, using God's strength to serve him, to make your offering, you will be richly rewarded according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. He will meet all your needs. So make sure when you sing songs, you know what you're singing. Make sure when you read the scripture, you understand what does the Lord require of you to do it. When we give, we have to give out of a willing heart. So that's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 to 5, giving that a kind of procedure, how to do it, prepare yourself in advance so that when you give, you're not giving to God grudgingly, but you keep giving to God willingly and joyfully. Allow God to work in your heart. Never offer service to God in a rush. You always offer service to God after your thinking, after you understand why you're doing what you're doing. When you understand what you're doing, you obey Him, then you can call out to Him, because I obey you, I listen to you, now I'm in need, and I pray that you provide all my need according to what is written in the scripture. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 is equivalent to Philippians chapter 4, 18 to 19. So what Paul teaches the congregation in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 is equivalent to Philippians chapter 4, 18 to 19. Paul is not the person who say one thing to the church and say another thing to a different church. He say the same thing, using different kind of wording, but the principle is the same. Make sure we know what we are doing, why we are doing what we are doing, what if I don't do it, and what's the consequences if I do it, what kind of blessing do I have? You have to have this kind of understanding, and so that you be blessed. So I go to chapter 9, verse 6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. When you offer service to God, you have to understand 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. Remember these Bible promises. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. That's the principle for a farmer. When he sows the seed, if he thinks that the seed that I sow will not have a return, he's not going to sow it. He sows it with the expectation that he's going to reap a harvest. Okay? And these are the principles that we receive. Okay? So we have to understand that. Chapter 9, verse 6. And these are the Bible verses that you have to memorize when you serve God. Secondly, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. Don't let anyone force you to give. You have to know why you are doing what you're doing. Deep from your heart, you have to understand that first. Understand what? In your heart, you understand that whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. That is the Bible verses inscribed in your heart. Then you do it according to the word of God. That is the strength that God gave it to you. And you say, Pastor John, what did God to do with the strength that He passed unto you? You write down 137, 96, 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse 6, you write down Luke 137. Every word that comes from the Lord, it comes with power. Okay? So, if you do things because someone tell you, you do it, unless what that person telling you is the word of God, your service to God is in vain. Make sure you understand that. Why you're doing what you're doing. Okay? When you come to the church, listen to what the Lord say to you and hide that word within your heart so that you won't sin against Him. At the same time, when you remember God's word, when you're in trouble, Lord, isn't it what you told me? Whoever sowed generously will also reap generously. I pray that you prove yourself faithful to me. The Lord, could you write that down? 145:13. The Lord is faithful to all His promises. The Lord is loving, trust all He has made. When you obey Him, you say that if I sow generously, I will reap generously. I've done my job. And you say to me that you are faithful to all your promises, and I wait for you with expectation. And I'm going to ask that you're going to bless me according to what you promises to us. The Lord is faithful to all His promises. Right beside to all His promises, you write down 2 Corinthians 1:20. No matter how many promises that God make to you, they are all yes. When you cry out to God in prayer, you can say amen, and you will receive that kind of blessing. But if you do things because someone passing you the offering bed, and you know you just take out from the wallet, and then don't even know what you're doing, and put the nickel there, put a dime there, that kind of offering is a waste of time. But if you, before you come, you also write a check, you won't write a check for 25 cents. Am I right? When I write that, I say, Lord, in the name of my Lord Jesus Christ, I did that. Remember the work on my hand. Write that down. Nehemiah 13:31. Remember my work to you, my labor in the Lord with favor. Remember that. You do this, you know, someone passing the offering bed, you know, like starting from Joyce in this area, and then by the time it come to you in a half a minute, so you're going to think about, oh, should I give 10 bucks, should I give 20 bucks? Come on, give me a break. Don't do that. Okay? You do it because you understand. Chapter 9, verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. If you truly understand what this Bible verses, what the Lord promised you, you won't do it in a way that you despise the Lord. You also write down, right beside there, 9:6, you write down Hebrew chapter 11, verse 6. For it is impossible for His people to please God unless He put His faith in His word. And also, you don't only believe that God exists, you believe that He will reward whoever seek Him, whoever have done according to what He asked you to do. If you've done your part, you pray to God with expectation, you pray to God with hope, and you know that you're going to receive it. All right, keep going. Chapter 9, verse 7. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give. You decided not while you are sitting here. You decided while you are at home. Allow God to give you time. Allow God to bless you. If you don't receive any blessing, don't bother giving. All right? Because Paul said that, turn to Romans chapter 11, verse 35. Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? The reason why we give, based upon last week, I talked about the principle of giving, we give based upon what we have. Chapter 8, verse 12. For if the willingness is there in your giving, the gift is acceptable. according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. What you have is given by God. God first gave it to you. You give thanks to God, say, thank you for giving me this kind of blessing. In return, I write the check. I give it back to you based upon what you told me. So we don't pass the offering back. Because you don't give, it's okay. It's up to you. Okay? No one can force you. Okay? I want to mention one more time, okay? Giving and service to God is the same thing. When you serve God, you don't force people to serve God because you cause people to stumble. You serve God for your own good. You do it. You can encourage, but you don't force. Not by compulsion, not reluctantly, and not grudgingly. Because if under this condition, if you're willing to give, your giving and your service is acceptable to God, pleasing to God, and it's a fragrant offering. And on top of that, you got to make sure that it is not moved by certain people to do it. It's moved by the Holy Spirit. And it is the Lord who's speaking to you. Okay? So, how can we hear the voice of the Lord? You have to give yourself time. In quietness and in trust is your strength. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. Make sure you have a quiet time with the Lord. You speak to Him, and then you give time to God to speak to you. You do things for the Lord, you allow time for God to do things to you. So, in quietness and in trust is your salvation. In repentance and in rest, I say that again, in repentance and in rest is your salvation. In quietness and in trust is your strength. You have to quiet yourself, read the Bible, understand what the Lord said to you, and then you do it according to what He said. And remember, when He tells you to do things, every time He tells you to do things, He always comes with a blessing. Always. Okay? I give you one illustration. Same as you see what Jin Wong quoted the Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, and that's the blessing. And what is the command? The command is 18 and 19. Okay? 18 and 19, Jesus say, all power has come upon me. Go and make disciples of all nations. That go is wrong. It's going. Keep going. And then when you lead them to Christ, you're baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And after you're going, after baptizing, and then you start teaching them to obey everything the Lord commanded you. You don't just teach them. You teach them to obey. Make sure that they obey. If they just listen to the word of God without obeying, they haven't come to know Christ yet. Just like you have faith in God without work, your faith is counterfeit faith. Faith always comes with work. That is what is written in James chapter 2. A lot of people read James chapter 2 thinking that is a heresy. It's a Catholic teaching. No, it's a biblical teaching. It's not Catholic teaching. Okay? That's why I'm asking Jean, if salvation is free, why do we have to work? Okay? Because we are all servants of the Lord. Prove yourself that you call Jesus is the Lord. You prove yourself that Jesus is truly your Lord. You listen to what He has to say, and you do exactly what He wants you to do. Okay, go back. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Who is a cheerful giver? When you move by the Holy Spirit, you understand why you're giving, And then you give according to God's strength, according to God's promises. Then you give in this way. And then God say, God love a cheerful giver. When what you do pleases God, that's the command. And then what's the promises? Promises in verse 8. For God is able to make all grace abound to you. When you give, you don't lack anything. Right beside 9:8, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. After you give to the Lord superficially, you lost something. But in reality, you don't lost something. You gain even more. Because the principle is 9:6. Right beside 9:8, you write down 9:6. Whoever sows sparingly, weeps sparingly. Whoever sows generously, will reap generously. That's the principle. That's God's promises. So God is able to do things that is beyond your understanding. I think this kind of teaching, chapter 9, verse 6, this kind of teaching is in conformity with the Old Testament teaching in Proverbs chapter 11, 24 to 35. A man giving freely, yet gain even more. How can it be? When you give freely, how can you gain even more? Another man withhold unduly, but come to poverty. You don't give, you become poor. How can it be? This kind of teaching, the Old Testament teaching, is in conformity with the New Testament teaching. 9:6. You have to experience yourself. As a matter of fact, if you're being honest, if you're being a Christian for a long time, you experience that kind of discipline. And you know that. You have to do it. But if you don't think, no, you don't know. You don't know that. So you have to experience yourself. 11:24, I like it so much, I memorize it. One, give freely, and yet gain even more. Why? Because whoever sows sparingly, reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously, reap generously. That's exactly what the Bible says. If you withhold unduly, poverty will come upon you. You know why poverty will come upon you? I want you to write that down. Okay? Don't just believe in these sentences. You write that down. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 9 and 10. If the Lord say to a nation, to a people, or to you, I will build you up, I will establish you, I will pour my blessing unto you. When he bless you, and then you do your own thing, you don't listen to what he has to say. He say, I be lent. I take out the blessing from you. I don't give it to you. I give it to someone else. Does it make sense, Moses? Does it make sense? It makes sense. These kind of Bible verses, you have to memorize it. You have to understand it. When you serve God, when you make an offering to God, make sure you know what you are doing. Go back. 11:25 Proverbs. One man give freely and yet gain even more. Wow, that is amazing. You write that down. 9:6, 9:8. Because when you give freely, according to the God's will, according to the moving of the Holy Spirit, God will bless you and help you to gain more. Another withhold unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And these are the promises in the Old Testament, is in conformity with the promises in the New Testament. They talk about the same thing. If you understand the Old Testament teaching and you understand Paul's teaching is based upon the Old Testament teaching. In verse 8, there's a great promise. That great promise is given to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. My God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. As long as your service is in Christ Jesus, as long as what you're doing is not out of your own will, out of your own thinking, out of your understanding of God's word, you understand what you're doing, you claim that promise, you can claim 4:19, Philippians. And you can claim 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. God is able to make all grace abound to you, right beside that. If God make all grace abound to you, that's how God bless you. So that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. What Paul's trying to say is, assuming you read the scripture, you understand chapter 9, verse 6, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, but you don't want to reap sparingly, you want to reap generously, then you say, Lord, I want to sow generously to you so that I can reap generously. Once you've done that, and then you say, God, isn't it you promised me you are able to make all grace abound to me in all things at all time, and having all that I need so that I can continue to give it to you. Continues to serve God. You know what? Do you know why people continue to serve God? Out of their service, they experience God's blessing. You have to experience that. If you don't taste the goodness of the Lord, you won't do it. Don't just come to the church and listen to God's word and deceive yourself. Come to the church and listen to God's word and put it into practice and you will get blessing. You have to do it yourself. No one can help you. That is exactly right beside 9:8. You write down Philippians 2:12. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. You have to do it yourself. At your own time, in your own pace, you say, Pastor John, why? How come in my own pace? If you want to get blessing quicker, you do it quicker. You don't want the blessing right now, you just delay it. It's up to you. Don't let anyone force you. You have to understand what God says to you. Okay? Keep going. And then verse 9:9. As it is written, 9:9, 2 Corinthians, 9:9 is given to Psalm 102, 112, verse 9. Same thing, 9:9. That teaching is out of Psalm 112, verse 9. This promise is an eternal promise. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endure forever. Assuming that you save up, let's say $5,000. I'm not saying that you should do it. I'm just saying, assuming you save up $5,000. And then you go on a cruise. And the cruise in the ship say, all you can eat. Have you ever been to a cruise that you can all you can eat? Yeah. And I heard a saying, anyone who go to a restaurant, all you can eat, you're hurting yourself. Because when you eat, you feel so good. Because you don't eat, I pay the money already. Yeah, I don't eat, I just not been treating myself well. So you eat so much, and then you have a acid reflux when you go home. The whole night, you cannot even sleep. The acid come out from your mouth. You say, what is going on? And you damage your body, okay? Brother and sister, make sure. Let's say, assuming you save up $5,000, you go on a cruise, and then all you can eat, And then what happened? After the cruise, then you have to run 10 miles, 20 miles to burn the energy. And then, you have no time to study the scripture, right? And then you spend all this money and all this entertainment, even though there's a lot of entertainment in the cruise, but that enjoyment doesn't last. When you leave that place, you go home, you sleep, you get stomach problem, you get acid reflux. Two Sunday, Lorraine go and buy the Chinese food from a Chinese restaurant. Crispy, right? Oh man, I don't know how many pieces I eat. I think, say five. I don't know whether it's chicken or not. No, it's not chicken. It's a rib, okay? Pork rib. I ate it. At night, I get acid reflux. And when you get acid reflux, I drink a little bit of water, I lie down, it's gone. But this one doesn't gone, because I ate five big pieces. And I say to myself, I don't do it anymore. All right? And then I turn on the Google search. I say, what causes it? He say, anyone who eat greasy things and you have acid reflux. I search for it. I drink a little bit. They say, good for you is almond milk. I get some almond milk, sip a little bit, sit up for 1 hour, and then I lie down. I'm okay. Normally, when I have acid reflux, I drink a little bit of water, I lie down, it'll be okay. This time, I get acid reflux again. It just gush out. Brother and sister, all the earthly entertainment, earthly enjoyment, bring you a lot of grief and doesn't last. But if you give to the Lord, your righteousness endure forever. Remember that. You have to experience yourself. You know what I'm saying is not foreign to anyone who eats so much and thinking that it will be good. It's no good to your health, man. Okay? You know, when my wife see that, I get up, you say, why are you doing? I say, I search. I say, what's the reason for the acid reflux? Because normally, you know, I'm okay, right? Oh, man. Brother and sister, don't eat any greasy stuff. Unless you want to get heart attack, okay? My wife don't cook this kind of stuff, so my stomach's not used to it. I like the promises that's written in chapter 9, verse 6. God is able to make all grace abound to you when you do according to his will, so that in all things, at all time, having all that you need, that's what he promised you, and you will abound in every good work. You can continue to do good things. I want you to write that down. Right beside 9:8, you write down Gospel of John. 9:8, you write the Gospel of John 1:16. From the fullness of his grace, we can all receive one blessing after another. To get blessing from God is good. Doesn't matter how much blessing. To eat greasy stuff, your stomach cannot take that. I'm telling you, because you are not mixed with that. And John said that from the fullness of his grace, we all can receive one blessing after another. And that kind of blessing can last to eternity. But the earthly blessing, you have to pay for it. Okay? Some people has eating so much beef. You know what I mean? He's gonna have a his toe is gonna have a lot of problem. You cannot walk. go, right? And so painful. You learn that lesson, you say, no, I'm not going to eat it anymore. Okay? You try that. You try that. Okay? Only one thing that God blessing, you receive more and more, it will do you no harm. Right? You write down Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. The blessing of the Lord bring wealth, and he add no trouble to it. You add too much greasy stuff, add trouble to it. You go all the earthly enjoyment, it bring trouble to it. It doesn't last. And after a week, you feel emptiness. You try that, okay? And then when I search the Google search, he say if you eat from the counter the Tums or the medication, it will damage your liver. So I say, Lord, I don't do that. I just take a little bit of almond milk and sit up for an hour, waste an hour of my lifetime for sleeping. And that's no good. You're laughing. Anyone has never had an SCV flag, could you raise your hand? Just give, so that I know you're godly, okay? Anyone has never had an SCV flag, would you do me a favor? Please raise your hand. Linda, have you ever had an SCV flag? Oh, man. The blessing of the Lord bring wealth. The blessing of the Lord bring good health. The blessing of the Lord lasts forever and ever, and he add no trouble to it. He add no trouble to it. Verse 10. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food, who is he? He is the Lord. He's Jesus Christ. He's God. He will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. That harvest of your righteousness, that is peace. And his righteousness endure forever, has eternal value. What we do in the cruise, what we do on earth, a lot of the time has no eternal value. But you do service to the Lord, has eternal value. Okay? Verse 11, you will be made rich in every way. You will be made rich in every way. That is 11, Proverbs 11, 25, right? He who refreshes other will himself be refreshed, right? He who gives generously will prosper. And you will be made rich in every way by God, so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will be sold in thanksgiving to God. I want you to write that down. 9:11. When you give according to God's will, and you are moved by the Holy Spirit, and you do it by faith, you understand what you're doing, he will bless you. At the end of the day, you come back to God and say, thank you, God, for letting me experience that kind of blessing. And my life was changed. Yesterday, I go back to the NIV Bible study. I put two pieces of paper in my NIV Bible study. The thing that what I've done in 88 and in 89. I start doing that in 87, but I don't have that piece of paper. I offer to God. I make a pledge to offer to God, not grudgingly, not reluctantly, not under compulsion. The church say, you write down the pledge that you want to give, and then when you experience the blessing, next year you give. I give you 12 months to give. So I write that down. He say, if you don't experience the blessing, don't bother giving. I just write that down. It's not tithing. is the mission fund. I write down $3,000. Unfortunately, I don't keep that. I don't keep that piece of paper. And that year, I received the blessing. Next year, I receive a paper. I write down $15,500 on top of the tithing. In 1988, I give the money in 89. In 89 mission, I give $20,000. I say I will give $20,000. And that year is the year the Lord called me. Called me to be a pastor. And I work only for 6 months, and then I go to New York to study seminary. In New York, I write a check, $20,000, plus my tithing, okay? I don't give it to the church in New York, because they don't give to God. So I write back to the Edmonton Chinese Alliance Church, $20,000. You know what changed my life? 87. It changed my life. I only give $3,000 on top of the tithing. And I experienced that blessing. And I know that blessing is from God. The blessing of the Lord bring you wealth. He add no trouble to it. And next year, I try it again. $15,500. And a year after, I try it again. $20,000. And he blessed me. You have to experience yourself. That kind of blessing is exactly what's written in 96, 98, 99. And I taste it. You don't taste it, your life will not be changed. If it doesn't work, don't bother doing it, okay? The reason why we give, because we receive from the Lord first, and then we give back to show our appreciation. Verse 12, and then chapter 9, verse 11, I want you to write that down. When you give generously and you go back to God, you give thanks to Him. You give thanks to Him. Why? At chapter 20, 35. Because it is more blessing to give than to what? Than to receive. You get that kind of blessing. You get that kind of blessing, you come back to God and say, thank you, God, for your blessing. I experience it myself. I taste the goodness of the Lord. I trust in you. Not only you will give blessing to God, you will give thanksgiving to God. Those people who receive your blessing, we'll give thanks to God too. Verse 12, this service that you perform is not only supplying the need of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Those who receive the blessing, they will give thanks to God on your behalf. You first of all give thanks to God for your blessing. Okay? Verse 13, because of the service by which you have proved yourself, men will praise God for the obedience that accompany your confessions of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Right beside 9:13, I want you to write that down. 2 Corinthians 9:13, you write down. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23. Two part. Whatever you do, make sure that you prove that you obey God's command. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, what is God's command? God's command is to believe in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that Jesus is your Lord. Whatever He say to you, you say, yes, sir, I'm going to do it. Prove it. And then how do you prove it? According to His command, love one another. How do we prove? How did the saint in the church of Corinth to prove his faith He proved his love is genuine to the people in Jerusalem. That is 9:13. I want you to write that down right beside 9:13. Because of the service that you have proved yourself, make sure that everything you do, you prove yourself. Your faith is not counterfeit, it's genuine. And men will praise God for the obedience that accompany your confession of the gospel of Christ. You confess with your mouth, right beside confession, you write down, you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is the Son of God. That's 1 John chapter 3, verse 23a. You confess that. When you confess that with your mouth, you prove yourself with an action by your obedience that accompany your confession. Your obedience is what is circled the word obedience. You link to your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. Your generosity is your obedience. And I say that one more time. If you don't read the scripture, and that's why people don't only give sparing. You know why? Because they don't know what they're doing. If you know what you're doing, you prove it. You prove that you understand. Another withhold unduly, but become poor. Whoever gives freely, and yet gain even more. Because it is God who is at work behind the scene. Unfortunately, a lot of Christians, they don't understand that. That's why they never grow. They never grow. They just be the hearer of His word. Brother and sister, today is the time you change it. Not by compulsion, but you taste the goodness of the Lord yourself. According to Psalm 34, verse 8, taste the goodness of the Lord so that you put your trust not in yourself, you put your trust in God's word. Whatever you do, whatever you say, make sure what you say match with what you do. Your action. Prove that. Right beside obedience, I want you to write that down. Romans chapter 1, verse 5. God called all Gentile believers to the obedience that come from faith. God called all Gentile to belong to Jesus Christ. You don't belong to yourself. God called all Gentile to live a holy life, not to live a life according to your will. When you experience it, your life will be changed. You don't need anyone to teach you. You don't need that. You don't need to tell me, okay, so-and-so don't give, then I don't give. They don't give, it's their problem. It got nothing to do with me. Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed is the one who put their trust in the Lord and ignore what other people are doing. Don't even care what they say. I don't even care what they do. I keep on doing what I'm doing because I will receive the blessing. Psalm chapter 40, verse 4, blessed is the man who make the Lord his trust. He don't trust in anyone. He trusts in God's word. He does not look to the proud. When you look at the proud, they don't do anything. You start not doing anything. Then you complain. You don't do that. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. All right? All right. Don't force them. Otherwise, they stumble. And you don't look to those who turn aside to force God. All right? Leave them alone. Okay, keep going. I want to finish it. Because of your service, by which you have proved yourself, and men will praise God for the obedience that accompany your confession of the gospel of Christ, that obedience come from your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. You know what happened? They not only give thanks on behalf of you, they will pray for you to get blessing in verse 14. And in their prayer for you, their heart go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. I want to circle that word, because of the surpassing grace God has given you. When you're willing to give, when you're willing to serve, because God's grace is upon you. So that's why you don't look to the proud. You don't look to anyone who worships false God. You look to the Lord. You understand? You look to the Lord. You say, Lord, I've done my part. I just want to see how you're going to bless me. You know, I get so much blessing. I still remember. I asked my wife, we bow down before the Lord. We pray together. I say, Lord, I have to lead Bible study. In 1989, I have 6 Bible studies to lead, and I don't have much time to do my business. Too much blessing already. I prefer to study God's Word. When you work for someone else, you may not receive so much blessing. When you are on your own doing a business, when the order comes, you know that. That is from the Lord. You say, I bow down and say, thank you. That is good stuff. And then the Lord called me. I don't want you to do it. I don't want you to be an engineer anymore. I want you to sell the business, go to New York to study seminary. I want you to be a pastor. I say, okay, I will. And verse 15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gifts. God has so much blessing for his children. He's waiting for his children to receive. I say that one more time. In conclusion, Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. In repentance and rest is your salvation. You want to receive salvation from God, free salvation, you turn around, repent, and rest in God's word. And after you are saved, you want to get more blessing, you want to get more strength, you get more power, you get more wisdom, you can. In quietness and in trust is your strength. Unfortunately, in chapter 30, verse 15, the Israelite has none of it. You know why? Because they don't put his faith in the Lord. I want the Apostolic Bible Church Christian to receive one blessing after another from the fullness of his grace. Our Heavenly Father, we heard your word. We want to put it into practice. We want to taste it to see how great you are. And so that when I come back to the church, when we sing song, we sing from the bottom of our heart and acknowledge you are a great God. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.